Some believe that ghosts are all around us. Others know it to be true. Those who know have a different life than you or I. Tonight's story delves into what kind of mischief you can get into when you have ghosts by your side.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and we have a very, very fun one for you this week. But before we get to that, I simply want to say thank you. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you want to show your support just a little bit more, why not make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting app and leave us a 5-star rating, whether on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your shows. It helps us immensely. When new listeners stumble upon us, they'll see your ratings and know they're in for a scary good time. So please go to your favorite podcasting app. Make sure you're subscribed, because we have lots of great, spooky Christmas content coming right up. And leave a 5-star rating. And if you want to support us even more directly, there's always Patreon. We now have 93 backers on Patreon. I want to see us hit 100 by the end of this year. All you have to do is go to weeklyspooky.com, click on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you guarantee that the program keeps on rolling and you get a monthly bonus episode. So please, if you've been on the fence, now is a great time to sign up and help us reach that 100 patron goal by the end of the year. But now, my friends, it's about time we get ready, get cozy, get comfortable, because the scary story is coming right up. And I know you're going to really enjoy this one, almost as much as you might enjoy the food at Applebee's. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Lucian Greyshire and the Ghost from Applebee's by L.F. Falconer. The three young girls in the corner booth continued to stare. Not due to rudeness, Lucian determined, merely out of morbid curiosity. Their parents attempted to be more furtive in their sidelong glances and struggled with useless, hushed commands to curtail their daughter's blatant surveillance. Lucian no longer cared. With 3/4 of his body severely scarred from a house fire he'd survived as a child 40 years ago, he'd grown hardened to the horrified scrutiny of others, the secretive glimpses, the whispers behind his back. At one time, his disfigurements brought him shame. Now he wore these scars with honor, deeming his outer grotesqueness more valuable than his business card. A man no one truly wanted to see, yet one not so easily forgotten. If he caused anyone nightmares along his journey through life, he lost no sleep over it. Harried to the point of distraction by their children, the two adults in the corner booth remained oblivious to the fact that half their current troubles were caused by the antics of the youthful poltergeist hovering above their table. A spilled glass of milk, the forks fallen to the floor, the plate of French fries toppled onto the youngest girl's lap had nothing to do with the carelessness of rambunctious children, and at this moment The ghost was ever so slowly unscrewing the cap on the salt shaker. Lucian savored the final bite of his lemon chicken, then dabbed his napkin over the thin lips below the cartilaginous remnants of his nose. He rose to his feet and placed enough cash on his meal check to cover his lunch as well as a generous tip. In response to his appearance, the server had neither balked nor overcompensated. Shrugging on his wool jacket, he took pity on the beleaguered parents in their challenge to maintain a sense of decorum amid the chaos, especially as the children's father had just ruined his own meal with a full shaker of salt spilled upon it. The poltergeist above the table glowed in rapid pulses of jade green. Leaving his table, Lucian limped directly to the booth the family occupied. Everyone at the table fell, transfixed, as if they'd all just been caught with their hands in the till. Lucian greeted them with a courteous bow. "Good afternoon." He raised his one good eye to acknowledge the ghost hovering above. Bemusedly, the ghost cocked an eyebrow, then darted to the left side of the table, taking refuge behind a potted imitation philodendron. Lucian straightened his gaunt frame and withdrew a business card from his inner jacket pocket. "Allow me to introduce myself. I am Lucian Greyshire, and I have a business proposal if you'd be interested." He handed his card to the father, then glanced over at the ghost who peeked through the Kelly green leaves, giving the young shade a polite nod. The man at the table seemed hesitant to accept the card, but once he took it into his possession, he scanned it out loud. "Let the dead bring your party to life. Greyshire Incorporated. Unique Halloween Entertainment Services." He looked up at Lucian with knitted brows. "What's this about?" "I'm in need of an assistant events coordinator." Lucian glanced back over at the ghost. "If you're interested, meet me in the park across the street within the hour." He kept his one-eyed gaze on the ghost. "I already have a job." The man at the table tried to hand the business card back, but Lucian stepped away from the table and gave another slight bow. "I'll be waiting, should you be interested." His papery lips smiled at the ghost before he turned and departed the restaurant. A somber sky loomed above, gray with pewter clouds billowing like dust. Lucian breathed deeply of the air, still wet from last night's tempest and laced with faint hints of pine, damp bark, and blight. Dying boughs and limbs ripped from their hosts and tossed haphazardly by the uncaring gale littered the park's greensward. Lucian blessed the previous night's storm. The howling winds had covered every muffled scream. The man's name had been Daniel. He was 67 years old. And now, he was dead. October leaves in persimmon, amber, and blood crunched beneath Lucian's feet, while crisp Lake Erie air nipped at his exposed, disfigured flesh. He settled onto a park bench, his muscles aching, strained from last night's activities. Out of his jacket pocket, he removed a well-used paperback copy of Peter Nichols' A Day in the Death of Joe Egg. He'd barely read three pages when an adolescent apparition tentatively drifted near. Lucian looked up from his book. Though little more than a translucent shadow, the ghost featured a clinging wet t-shirt, dark jeans, and high-top athletic shoes. He looked to have been maybe 15 or 16 at the time of his death, his dark, damp ribbons of hair plastered against his skull. Last night's events flickered through Lucian's mind in high-speed clips. Cold waters whipped to a frenzy by boisterous wind, Daniel's hand clawing at Lucian's own as he gurgled within the spume. The young shade scooted swiftly to the left. With a steady gaze, Lucian's good eye trailed the movement. The shade darted back to the right, still fixed beneath Lucian's magnetic stare. The ghost took a minor step closer. "You can really see me?" Lucian closed his book. "Indeed." Was this job offer really for me or for him? The ghost jerked his head in the direction of the restaurant across the street. For you, of course. I thought I'd made that pretty clear. You was a bit fuzzy, mate. I believe it would have been awkward to speak to you directly when it's only I who am aware of your presence. I'm not certain why you're trying to pull off a phony accent. I happen to know you're an American. The ghost took a step back, crossing his arms. And what makes you so smart, huh? Lucian winked his sighted eye. I know many things. It's what I do. The ghost jutted his chin forward. But I guess you don't know my mum's Canadian. Lucian flipped his jacket collar up to keep the lake chilled air off his neck. Point taken, but that's neither here nor there. The important thing is that you've come. You may call me Lucian, and what may I call you? Anything you like, I suppose. In another life, I believe they called me Patrick, but can't recall the last time I heard the name. Could just be a name I like. I don't know. There's not much about life I can remember. He relaxed, looking Lucian directly in the eye. It's kind of like a shattered mirror, life, I mean. My life. And I'm afraid if I try to put the pieces back together, I might not like what I see. Other than looking like a drowned rat, you're not a bad-looking fellow. The ghost faded slightly. It's not about my looks. I'm invisible, unlike you. Meaning, no offense, but dude, really. Lucian shook his head. No offense taken, and there's no need to pick up the pieces. It could do you no good now. He swiftly caught a wayward breeze-blown newspaper page beneath his foot, anchoring it to the ground. Patrick it is, then. The name suits you, so tell me, Patrick, would you like the job? Patrick settled onto the seat beside him. What's in it for me? I'm free to come and go as I please, so don't have to answer to anyone. I dare say you're rather bored. And lonely, Lucian thought, a feeling he knew too well. Being little more than a living wraith himself. But what a pitiful way to spend eternity, tormenting children in a restaurant, and an Applebee's no less. Ah, that's where you're wrong, mate. I've no ties to the restaurant, and I wasn't tormenting the children, I was tormenting the parents. You hold a grudge against parents, do you? It would seem that way now, wouldn't it? But I can't say for sure. Could just be something I do for kicks, you know. Probably one of those broken pieces. Patrick leaned forward, elbows on his knees. So, how come you can see me and hear me when no one else can? The crackle of flames and the smell of charred wood inundated Lucian's memory. Smoke billowing beneath the locked bedroom door. On the other side, his father shouts. Heavy footfalls. Leaving. Help me, Daddy! Lucian's frantic cries. Eyes burning, throat constricting, hot smoke wrapping him in a shroud. I was dead once myself, he admitted, glancing over at the ghost beside him. A fireman resuscitated me. He had been brought back to life. His mother and brother had been more fortunate, not having to live the ordeal over and over and over again. The nightmares had long ago disappeared, making way for vivid, waking memories. Patrick straightened in his seat. That's how you got all them scars, eh? That's rough, man. But that don't explain much. Other folks have been resuscitated, but no one's ever seen me before, so why you? For nearly a year during my recovery, I remained in a state of flux, or half-life, if you will. Forced against his will into a world of forgotten shadows, Lucian continued to keep one foot in reality, and the other foot in the grave. A part of me still dwells in the realm of lost souls. Some people might consider that a curse, but I view it as a unique gift, for I am in a position to offer those in limbo some comfort. Limbo sucks, especially if you're invisible. Patrick's voice broke upon his words. It was impossible to give the boy a hug. Lucian had to rely on speech. That's why you feel compelled to cause chaos. It's the only way you can validate your dismal existence. Patrick leaned back, clasped his hands and twiddled his thumbs, staring up at the steely, cloud-studded sky. A pair of starlings roosted, chattering quietly in the bare treetops above. Patrick shot up like a rocket and thumped the branch, startling the birds into flight. As Patrick settled back onto the bench beside him, Lucian stowed his book away in his pocket. "What I am offering you, Patrick, is a chance to do something productive with your existence. I could use a man of your talents." "I have no talent." "But you do. Very few spirits have the ability to move objects. I can only do it if they're not too heavy. I can't budge anything over a couple of pounds, and I don't know why you'd want a limbo ghost anyway. We're a pathetic bunch. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. Bored, like you said. And boring to boot. I can do nothing about whatever is holding you here, but I can offer you a sense of purpose. After tomorrow, I'll be moving on. This is an opportunity you may never come across again." Patrick kicked at the leaves below his feet, swirling them in a colorful dance upon the sidewalk. "Doing what exactly?" "Helping me in my endeavors, that's all." "What kind of endeavors? What do you do besides know many things?" "Well, for one, I throw parties. Huge Halloween parties for the filthy rich. Excruciating extravaganzas, really. But I always deliver on my clients' contracts, and they're willing to pay me quite well." "Parties, huh? I think there's more to it than that. You said for one, so what's for two?" "Talented and attentive. Even better," Lucian thought, allowing his good eye to wander the immediate vicinity for a moment. The threat of more stormy weather kept the park relatively deserted. Ensured there was no one nearby, he quietly confided. "For two, I kill people." Patrick sprang from the bench. "Hold a minute!" He raised his hand in a stop action and took a step back. "Tormenting folks is one thing, but I want no part in killing innocents." Unapologetically, Lucian stared up at him. "Only children are innocent. The rest of us are all guilty of something. Think of me as an extension of justice." "Are you like some kind of hitman, or do people only pay you for parties?" Lucian hesitated momentarily. "I do get paid for hosting parties. Quite well, in fact. Yet there are some clients who request an extra dash of pepper on their salad, so to speak." Patrick paced the concrete, stirring the leaves beneath his feet back into action. "I don't know, mate. I start doing real harm to folks, and next thing you know, I'm yanked straight into hell." Lucian folded his gnarled hands, his sightless eye gleaming dully in the muted daylight. "I would never ask you to harm anyone. That pleasure is reserved for me, and me alone. I simply need help in orchestrating my events. Hence the job title of Assistant Events Coordinator. Your soul and conscience remain unsullied." A young couple holding hands strolled by, giving Lucian a wide berth. They passed through Patrick, causing him to fade in and out. He stopped pacing and lunged towards Lucian. Ripping the newspaper page from beneath his foot, he swatted the couple with it on the back of their heads before setting the page free in the breeze. His bone-colored face distorted by deep thought. He swept back to Lucian's side. "I'm still not sure this is something I should be taking part in, if you know what I mean," he muttered. "The killing part." "I understand your concerns, Patrick. Yet you seem to enjoy tormenting the living, and that's all I would ever expect you to do. During the party. Would you be willing to give it a trial run? I have an event scheduled tomorrow night at Gates Hotel." "A party at the Gates?" Patrick snorted and took a step back. "Well, that should be a hoot. Those two snobby sisters there don't much care for company, dead or alive, carrying on like the world belongs to only them." "That's odd," Lucian said. "I found them to be rather charming." It had been those sisters who'd led him to Patrick, who'd told him of the boy's talent and revealed the details of his untimely death. And since the hotel is slated to be raised before Christmas, Jasmine and Ruby have graciously agreed to help me host this year's event. One last hurrah for them, so to speak. With them two, you've already got the best. What do you need me for? Lucian spoke with a smile. The sisters may be capable of vivid manifestation and bone-chilling audio, but they cannot move things. The party guests will be expecting a magnificent, haunted experience. I prefer to give them a night to truly remember. A green aura glowed from within, and Patrick smiled. Most of these people are parents, right? I would assume so. And I don't have to take part in no killing? Lucian nodded. Rest assured, that contract has already been completed. A small white lie. Sometimes a party was simply a party, and a target, a deliciously convenient coincidence. Patrick gusted across the sidewalk, knocking the hat off the woman pushing a baby carriage, then sidled back to Lucian's side. Can I ask who it was? No, you may not. Not even a clue? Lucian ran a ragged finger across the thinly stretched skin of his missing lips, as if zipping them shut. There was no need to tell the lad. It had been his father. Lucian's own father may have been unsuccessful, but Patrick's had seen the deed through. For 30 years, Patrick has wandered in the realm of lost souls, and last night, the father, like the son, unwillingly surrendered his life within the cold, dark waters of Lake Erie. He wondered, had Patrick fought as hard to survive as Daniel had? Lucian rose from the bench. Stick with me, Patrick, and I promise you, you will never be forced to carry the burdens of my sin. Now, shall we go? There's a pair of fine 19th century sisters I'd like you to meet. Lucian limped down the walkway, the leaves beside him swirling in a kaleidoscopic dance. I guess the business of death is a little bit more complicated than I realized, and Lucian Greyshire is going to make sure that business is booming. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight and listening to our story. I really, sincerely do appreciate it. As the weather turns cold, I know many of you need something to listen to for your drives to family dinners or your long trips to visit people as the holidays approach. I myself don't have any big trips planned, but my furnace is officially on its last leg, so I'll be getting a new one of those, which reminds me to tell you, please consider becoming a Patreon backer. Patreon is how you support this show directly. For as little as $1 a month, you get exclusive perks, you're able to communicate with me directly, and, of course, my undying gratitude. It really does make a huge difference, and I'm so grateful to all of you who are supporting the show on Patreon. And speaking of which, I want to say an extra special thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little bit more to hear their names on the show. And they are Kelly Oram, Julia Kirsch, Christopher Sullivan, Brent McCullough, Gino Lyons, Steve King, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. If you want to join them, just go to weeklyspooky.com, click on Patreon, and select the podcast booster option. We really do appreciate the support, but more than anything, we just appreciate you being here every single week. So make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast app. We're not slowing down just because the Halloween season is over. We have so much more to come, my friends. But for now, I bid you goodbye. For myself, executive producer Rob Fields, producer Dan Wilder, and our composer Ray Mattis, I will talk at you next week.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.